Sun Bancorp's second quarter earnings conference call will now begin. This call is being recorded. On the line for Sun Bancorp are Tom O'Brien, President and CEO, Tom Brugger, Chief Financial Officer, and other members of Sun's management team.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the second quarter conference call on Sun Bancorp's just released quarterly results. The story in the quarter is probably in two different pieces. First, if you hadn't seen it, we put out a press release earlier in the week on some management changes designed to build out the executive management team here at the bank. I think I'm pleased to say we've got a very good group coming together, both with some new hires and obviously people at Sun and a promotion that we had in there for Peggy Sepp. I think we've got a very good team coming together here, and the team designed to execute on the work in front of us. The news in the quarter, of course, is in two parts. The previously announced restructure and kind of repositioning efforts on behalf of the bank were announced in early July, and obviously that was the biggest component in the quarter. Then we kind of had the quarter by itself, but I'd probably use the quarter by itself to illustrate probably better than anything, if you look at the first and the second quarter, the reason the restructure is necessary and a comprehensive plan was required here. In the restructure, as you probably know by now, we announced about a $20 million in various charges related to the restructure. A big part of that, of course, was in reducing the credit risk profile of the bank with the classified and non-accrual loans, the sale of the commercial non-accruals and classified loans was completed in the quarter, and some residual additional loans were marked down to held for sale, and we'll be looking to exit those in the next couple of weeks. And as you saw in the July 3rd announcement, we did negotiate and announce the proposed sale of 7 branches down in the Cape May County area, somewhere in the $180 million or so range, and some additional local loans that will go with that. So all in, it's about $65 million in loans that will go with the $185 million or so in deposits. And in the quarter, we moved $28.5 million of those loans and $160 million of the deposits into held for sale. So all of that kind of combined between the quarter and the restructure, so we end up with a $24.2 million loss. None of us are happy about that, but it is the product of what we all believe was required to right the ship here at Sun. And as we started looking at the restructuring needs of the bank, we did not begin with a dollar amount that was, minimally acceptable. We didn't look, we didn't solve for a number to begin with. We started just really looking at what is needed to operate the bank in a way that fits in with what you would see in our typical better performing peers. And to accomplish that, what did the bank have to do? And our conclusions, supported fully by the board, were all of the elements that were included in that comprehensive restructuring announcement. It is a lot to do. It was obviously a long press release, but I think as you've seen, all of it needed, and each one of those items kind of addresses specific needs in the bank to end this unacceptably long period of operating losses. So with that, I'm going to ask Tom Brugger to talk a little bit about the financial side of things here, and then obviously we'll take your questions.
Thanks, Tom. I just want to make a few comments about the restructuring and timing of activity and run rates. Looking at the one-time charge, just from the restructuring activities, it's right around $20 million, and we put a table in the press release just giving you a little more background, but $13 million of that was related to commercial loan sales, and that includes the charge-offs, net of reserve release, and then some swap termination losses, and it's an all-in number of $13 million. The consumer loans that we moved to held for sale, that was $3 million. Severance, it was about 140 people, and it was about a $3 million number for the reductions we did. We had some fixed asset disposals and some exit costs on leases. So you added all that. Most of the one-time charges related to the reduction in problem loans. So that's the composition of that number. I also wanted to mention that we did do a review of the balance sheet, and we looked at all of our accruals, our accounting estimates, and we just wanted to reaffirm our comfort with all these estimates and kind of reduce the risk of negative surprises in the future. So, in addition to doing, obviously the restructuring and the change in strategic direction, we also did a comprehensive analysis on all of our estimates. Looking at the timing of the restructuring, we did put some disclosures. We have a table in the press release talking about timing. But just to review that a little bit, the problem loan sales, the commercial loans, $71 million, all of it settled in June. We also sold $47 million of clean jumbo residential loans. That was completed and settled in the second quarter. We moved $24 million of consumer loans into held for sale, and they were some kind of some problem loans and some higher risk loans. We have $13 million under agreement that's pending settlement in the next couple weeks. The rest of that is being marketed, and we anticipate it'll settle sometime between now and the end of the year. The branch consolidations, we have four branches we're consolidating this year. One was completed in June, and then three are scheduled to consolidate in the fourth quarter. The branch sales, as Tom mentioned, there is an agreement with Sturdy Savings to sell seven locations, primarily in Cape May, and that is anticipated to be somewhere in the first quarter. We will settle that out. And the branch sales are important from the perspective we're going to go through the guidance that allows us to shrink the balance sheet later. There are some additional branch sales that are being explored, primarily in the South Jersey markets. Nothing is final. We were hopeful we could get another sale for five to seven locations, and that would close sometime in the first quarter or, maybe the second quarter. Looking at the run rates, I just wanted to let you know that we did put out some guidance because we have a lot of moving parts with this restructuring so you can understand what we'll look like after we're done. In the press release of July 3rd, we put some run rates on, the income statement. And Tom and I spoke at an investor conference the last couple days. And on page 8 of our investor deck, which we put out in 8K, we put run rates for the balance sheet, the loan portfolio, and income statement just to give you a sense of where we'll be. At a high level, between now and, say, the end of the first quarter, we do expect the balance sheet to shrink from $3 billion down to somewhere around $2.5 billion. And that is after we settle the sale at the branches because we have excess liquidity. We've sold some loans. And then when we complete the settlement of the branch sales, that allows us to shrink the balance sheet. And then after that, our net interest income will be $18 to $20 million. Fee income, $3 to $4 million a quarter, and our expenses around $20 million. So that gives you a sense of where we'll be after we're done. So at a high level, just wanted to give you some additional information there, and let me turn it back to Tom.
Okay, thank you. With that too, in the branch sale that we've negotiated and announced on Cape May County, there's a gain on that sale, which will be calculated and booked at the time of the closing. So that's we've estimated somewhere in the $10 to $12 million range, but that'll be a March 2015 calculation and March 2015 event. So with that, happy to take some questions here and hear what's on your mind. Thank you.
If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Mark Fitzgibbon with Sandler O'Neill & Partners.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you, Mark?
Terrific. First question I had for you, should we assume that there won't be any additional charges, you know, going forward, that this was really the one that caught everything, and in 3Q, 4Q, we shouldn't expect additional charges?
I think, you know, the idea was that this would be, let's call it curative, nothing visible beyond this. We have some additional expenses as, you know, certain of the employees who will be leaving us, you know, they can't all go day one. So some will go in 30, 60, 90, 120 days. And so there will be a, you know, kind of a run rate with that. We've not exactly sure how we're going to report it, but when we get into the third quarter, we'll at some level report a number that you can distinguish between, you know, those, let's call them discontinued operations at the moment, those kind of costs versus what our standard run rate is. But, no, we're not expecting any additional comprehensive restructuring costs.
And secondly, in terms of thinking about operating expenses, I think you had said that you expect them to be around $20 million after the branch sales completed in the first quarter of 15. Is it a fairly steady decline, you know, between now and then getting there, or could you help us sort of think about what operating expenses might look like in the remaining two quarters of this year?
I think it'll be, well, I'll give Tom the specifics, but I think you'll see, you know, a meaningful decline in 3Q and a total, probably, well, not entirely total recognition, but recognition of everything except the operating expense savings on the branches in the fourth quarter. And the operating expense savings on the branches, of course, will happen after the branches, the branch sale closes at 15. But I don't know, Tom, if you want to add any specifics.
Yeah, I mean, through the month of July, you still have all the salary expense of the people that you've reduced. And, so that'll run down, as Tom said, in the third quarter. And the branches, you have somewhere around 600,000, maybe to 700,000, 800,000 per location per year. That's the operating expense load. So when we get the sales done, then that, you know, that'll fully come out of that OPEX number. And then, you know, the consolidations, like we mentioned, there are three locations for the fourth quarter, so that needs to come out of the number too. So it's a lot of it drops off, but it, you know, it'll be probably Q2 when we get closer to that $20 million number.
Okay, and I know you've got cash going out in conjunction with the branch sales in 1Q, but can you help us think about, you know, timing for deployment of the excess cash that you have in the balance sheet?
I think, you know, when you look at the cash deployment, I would say the way we built our models here was that it would occur gradually as we built the lending team here. So, I think we're going to be probably talking about relatively slow numbers on a net basis. And this current quarter, the third quarter, a little pickup in the fourth. And as we get into 15, we expect to see more and more as the lending teams and some new hires get fully engaged. We're probably looking at, you know, portfolio, you know, flat to even some additional declines as we exit credits that don't meet our current objectives, and we have some portfolios, for instance, in ABL, which will leave with the ABL business. So not a huge number, but again, you know, numbers that would lead to a portfolio shrinkage as opposed to growth in the current quarter.
Okay. And then lastly, obviously you bolstered the reserve. I'm just wondering about if balance sheet is likely to shrink a little bit more, should we assume there isn't likely to be much in the way of provisioning in the next few quarters?
Well, obviously you look at the allowance every quarter and do the formulas and the calculations. We've done a very credible job of assessing that, and on a cautious basis, and the provision should reflect what it would normally reflect would be any loan growth or any degradation in credit quality. But after all of this, I think we're hopeful it's more modest than anything else.
Thank you.
But thanks, Mark.
We'll take our next question from Travis Land with KBW.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Travis.
Just following up on a couple of Mark's questions, just in terms of timing as to when you expect to see the loan runoff stop and then kind of see stability in the loan portfolio and beginning growth, is that kind of 1Q15 as well, or is it nearer term than that?
No, I think that's probably a fair way to look at it. I mean, it's a little hard to predict, but, I think it's probably safe to assume that, there's still some runoff in 3Q and 4Q and, let's say, flattish in 1Q15, and then hopefully, we start to see some growth in 2Q15.
Okay. And then how do you guys feel, obviously with kind of the level of de-risking that just occurred here, how do you feel about the outlook for charge-offs? I know Mark just asked about the provision, but just kind of thinking about, are there more embedded losses, do you think, in the portfolio, or was that all basically put on the table this quarter?
Well, it's a credit risk business, so I would have to be cautious about that. We took a pretty sharp knife to when you look at the decline in the classifieds. I mean, you can always get a surprise. I think we've accounted for anything that we would think might be a further decline in credit quality. The allowance, as was noted earlier, it's pretty healthy both in terms of percentage of classified loans, in terms of percentage of non-accrual loans, and in terms of percentage of the portfolio. So, I think we'll call it robust, not inappropriately so, because, this is a bank with a history of some credit surprises. So we're trying to, recognize all that and be cautious about it.
Got it. All right. And then just finally, how are you guys thinking about the securities portfolio in the interim? It was pretty flat this quarter. I'm just wondering about that.
Well, fortunately, with the branch sales, of course, we can, depend less on using securities to deploy cash assets. Ideally, it doesn't grow beyond here. And as we look at loan growth and some branch sales, let's call it the liquidity portfolio, including securities, is very capably able to fund that.
Got it. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Sure. Thanks, Travis.
As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question, and we'll take our next question from Matthew Breese with Stern AG.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Matt.
Going back to Tom, you mentioned that you had an additional 5 to 7 branches that were being marketed currently. And, considering that the first 7 branches that are slated to be sold in the first quarter, considering the price that you got from it, which was pretty, very strong at 8.8%, are you seeing similar metrics for the next round of branches?
I think that would be unusually ambitious.
Can you give us an idea?
You really have to look at, in terms of the Cape May branch sale, it's one of those unusual deals that is just a win-win. It is a great fit for the buyer. It is their home market. It's where they want to be. You rarely see, the opportunity for them to expand their footprint and their presence in their home county that way. And it was, so for them it. Not to put words in anybody else's mouth, but I think, they'd say it was a very attractive must-win deal. And for us, it was a remote county where, we just couldn't be that effective. It was fairly dilutive to our management efforts and our marketing efforts. And so, you know, on the expense save side and on the, you know, the management time side, it was a good sale. And of course, you know, there's an attractive gain for us. But I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't guide you close to that number for anything else.
Okay. Do you have an idea of what those branches might be sold for? Or early
I'll let you know. That happens, but look at the, you know, there's market averages out there. The only thing in these transactions, you know, there are, you know, just take for example a bank with an extremely high loan to deposit ratio. You know, they need that kind of funding, those kind of branches. It may encourage them to break the average. On the other hand, it may be more passive interest, and it'd be a, you know, a more market average. So I just think it's too early to speculate on it. But.
And beyond, you know, this next 5 to 7 branches, you know, what else could be sold out of your branch network? What is the, you know, in your view, what is the right amount of branches for a bank of your size?
Well, as I said in the beginning, when we started this, we really looked at what is right for the bank given its current condition, its operating history, the right size, given the capital structure and everything else. And really, you know, we came down to we should look like a bank, you know, low to mid-30s in the number of branches. And I'd say, you know, the average in the industry might be, you know, for a $2.5 to $3 billion bank, you know, the branch count might be 25 to 35. So, you know, we're kind of in that area. You know, you can speculate in the years ahead, perhaps we might look at, you know, relocating an existing location, or we might look to expand in a certain market, but you know, nothing else contemplated. This was designed to position the bank where we felt it needed to be profitable at a peer level with the expense base that we need, and we're obviously looking for additional opportunities to be more efficient, but not looking to, I wouldn't say there's another area or market that we're looking to exit from at this time.
Okay. And then, you know, thinking about your earlier commentary related to the overall expense load and net interest income and non-interest income, you know, once the branch sale and restructuring is done, you know, that would mean you guys should be profitable by, you know, roughly $2 million a quarter by the first or second quarter. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair estimate.
Yeah, and in that number, we're not giving guidance on provision expense. So, you know, we think that'll be modest, but yeah, I mean, the math there is profitable, but
a lot of you know, as you project this out, I mean, there's, let's call it two phases here. Phase one is kind of this deconstruction of the businesses we're exiting from and the costs that we're shedding, and that gets us to a, you know, expense level run rate that at least gives us you know, some profits. But the next leg of that, of the execution really, of the plan, is that, you know, we have to look at you know, loan growth opportunities in, as I said earlier, as, you know, as we get into 2015, that needs to start to contribute to the revenue side of the equation. So one of the questions I got the other day was, you know, the proportion of expense challenge to revenue issues. You know, and my answer basically is today it's 75-25 or 80-20 in favor of expenses, but when we get into 2015, that dynamic reverses and it becomes, you know, more challenge on the revenue side that we have to produce. And, you know, there's always an effort to maintain expenses at an appropriate run rate, but we will have done most of that by then. And then we'll need to execute on the revenue side.
Right. And how all that relates to the written agreement and the deferred tax asset, do you have any ideas or any updates on progress or timing on when those things could be resolved?
think if we didn't do this, it would be infinity. So, our goal is to get these done as quickly as possible. From the regulatory side, I think we need to demonstrate commitment and adherence to this plan and execute against it. And on the tax side, the literature is pretty clear on what's required out there, but it's several quarters, generally considered to be 4 to 6 of profitable operating operations. And, so that would lead you to something no sooner than the end of 15 and more likely in the middle of 16. I will say, just on the deferred tax asset side, I keep reminding people this too, there's two important components to consider in that. The GAAP recognition is, kind of accounting geography, and it's interesting. But the real value for a bank like us is as we can start to recognize the current deferred tax asset for regulatory purposes, it serves essentially as a capital raise for us because it goes right into our regulatory capital calculations. You can leverage that, grow the bank on that, and as I said, it's a de facto capital raise. So the faster we get to that point and the more profitable we are, the more our capital grows.
So between now and end of 15 or mid-16, when you expect to have some progress on the DTA front, to be clear, you do not expect to you don't feel the need to raise additional capital.
I think, I look at capital every day. I'm always a fairly conservative person on that. So I don't make commitments one way or the other. I think it's just one of those things we need to focus on and look at. If I did think we'd need it, there wouldn't be an issue with raising it. But at the moment, I think if you look at the bank level, the capital ratios are very robust. At the holding company, let's call it the TCE ratio is, at the moment a little tighter than I'd like it to be. I mean, it's okay, a little tighter than I'd like it to be. If you look at, come to the conclusion of the branch sales and all of that, and then, I feel a lot more comfortable with it. So it's just one of those things that, we'll watch each day, and, if we have to do something, we'll do it, and but we're not overly worried about it at the moment.
Okay. That's all I had. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn it back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
That's good. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your interest in the company, and we will endeavor to keep you informed and aware as things go on here, and we look forward to working with you in the quarters and years ahead. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation.